If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Revelation. I would like to read from Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I would like to begin with the first verse and read through verse 6. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Word of God says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." And this church had a name that she lived, but what was the real condition of this church? The church was dead. Now what do you think would cause people to say, now that's a church that's really alive? They had a name that they lived. They had a reputation, they were really alive, but they were really dead. Why? What do you think today would cause people to look at a church and say, you know, that church is really alive? Tell me what kind of things might be going on that would cause people to look at a church and say, that church is really alive. Okay, a lot of activities. What kind of activities? Okay, a lot of activities that would be pleasing to the flesh and exciting to men, worldly-minded activities. And he says, but the church was dead. That was the condition of the church at Sardis. They had a name that they lived, but they were dead. And there are a lot of churches today that are dead. When God removes His Spirit, when God removes His candlestick, as He said in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Sardis, He said, to repent or else I will come unto thee and remove thy candlestick out of its place. And if God removes the candlestick from a church, God removes His Spirit from a church, that church may look alive to the world, but any born-again child of God that's spiritual will recognize that church is dead. And that was the summary that God gives about this church at Sardis. They had a name that they lived, but they were dead. That was God's summary of the church. He says, but thou art dead. And then he says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Were there still... Was there a remnant in the church? Were there still a few people in the church, though the body as a whole was dead? Were there still some faithful members in that church? There were. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, the main thought that's on my heart tonight is found in verse 4, where the Word of God says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, as ungodly and as wicked and as worldly as the church at Sardis was. He says, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Now, whenever the Word of God talks about God's people defiling their garments, I think one of the passages that you might go to help understand what the Bible is talking about there would be to go back and look at, you remember Jesus talked about, He gave a parable about a king that made a marriage for his son. The Word of God talks about how all the different people began to come to that marriage, but you remember there was one individual that came to that marriage that did not have on a what? A wedding garment. Did not have on a wedding garment. That person was not clothed in white. That person was not dressed appropriately to be at that wedding. And any time the people of God begin to be defiled in their lives are defiled and they're living ungodly ways, their garments are, the way the Word of God describes it is, their garments are spotted. And they are unworthy to be in the kingdom of heaven and to be a part of the fellowship of God. So he says that's the condition of some of the people. But there were some people that had not defiled their garments, And they shall, listen, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's the main thought that's on my heart, is that it's possible for God's people, and this walking with Him in white is not talking about going to heaven when you die. This isn't talking about one day we're going to be able to be in eternal heaven because we've walked worthy enough, we've been good enough to be in eternal heaven. In fact, I want us to understand, first of all, and this is the main thing I want to try to do tonight, is understand that there are some things that the Word of God specifically spells out. You and I cannot be worthy in our own strength, in our own lives, and the way we live. There are some things you and I can never be worthy of because of what we do. Does everybody understand that? And I think most of us probably, that's what we emphasize. But let me also emphasize that there are some things that the Word of God says that we can be worthy of, and the only way that we will experience those things if we live in such a way that we are worthy. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He says that there are some of those in Sardis that they were so faithful to God, and they were so committed in their service to God, and their garments were white, and He says, they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I want us tonight to pray that God will help us to be like those few in Sardis, that they were living in such a way that their garments were not defiled, and that they were able to walk with Christ. You know, we can walk with Jesus. Did you know that? Sometimes we sing the songs, walking with Jesus, stepping in the light, and all the other scripture and all the other songs that talk about walking with Jesus, we can walk with Jesus. If, and I put a capital IF there, because you can't just walk with Jesus anytime you want to. You cannot walk contrary to God's Word and at the same time walk with Jesus. Let's back up and look at just a couple of verses that teach that. Hold your finger here because we can come right back, but I want you to back up to 1 John, just before Jude and Revelation. Just back up 4 or 5 pages, and in 1 John we're talking about how Jesus said there were those at the church at Sardis that would walk with Him in white because they were worthy. I want us to first talk about what does it mean to walk with Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1 beginning in verse 6, 1 John chapter 1 beginning in verse 6, the Word of God says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him. Who is the pronoun Him referring to there? Say it again. Okay, Jesus or God. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Sometimes I talk with people of God that are walking backwards, they're backsliding, they're going in the wrong direction, and I talk to them and they'll say, I'm just as close to God as I've ever been. And you're wrong if you think I'm not going in the right direction. Well, let me tell you something, brethren. You can be deceived in thinking you're going in the right direction when you're going in the wrong direction. I can be deceived in that way. But people of God can watch other children of God, and they can tell when a child of God is walking in darkness or backsliding or going in the wrong direction. And so it is that the Word of God says if we say that we have fellowship with Jesus, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, the Word of God says we lie and do not the truth. Now listen carefully to verse 7. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The Word of God says, but if we walk in the light. Now what does Jesus say is the promise that He's giving? In Revelation 3, 4, what's the promise that He's giving to those whose garments were white? He says, they shall what? They're worthy. But they will what? They will walk with me in white. And that's what I want to think about. That's the blessing that comes from walking worthy as you're walking with Jesus. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, first of all, and you can apply this fellowship one with another in two different ways, but first of all, I believe the primary application is that if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, Jesus is in the light, you have fellowship with Jesus. And Jesus will have fellowship with you. Now you can also have fellowship with other saints of God who are walking in the light. We have fellowship one with another. But listen, if I'm not walking in the light, I'm not walking with Jesus. Jesus says it's a privilege to walk with Him. Did you know that? It's a great privilege to be able to walk with Jesus. And that's what Jesus says is the promise that he's giving to those few saints at Sardis. He says, these individuals that have not defiled their garments, they're going to walk with me in white, for they are worthy. What do you have to do in order to be worthy to walk with Jesus? Just somebody tell me, what do you have to do in order to be worthy to walk with Jesus?
Keep His commandments, walk in His word.
Okay, keep His commandments, walk according to the teaching of His word, and what? Okay, walk in His footsteps. All of those, that's what we're talking about when we talk about walking with Jesus and being worthy of walking with Jesus. Now, somebody also tell me now, what do we have to do to be worthy to go to heaven when we die? Somebody explain that just briefly. Okay, very good, Brother Caleb. Very good, excellent. As soon as I said, what do we have to do to be worthy to go to heaven to be with Jesus? His hand went up and he went like this, and he thought just a minute, and then he came out with a correct answer. Nothing. You see, that's one thing we want to remember. While we're looking at the fact that we can walk worthy of walking with Him in white, there are some things that we can walk worthy of. There are blessings that God says, now you're worthy of this blessing. You're worthy of this blessing, but there are some things that you will never do enough good to be worthy of. And one of the things that you can never do enough good to be worthy of is be in eternal heaven. So when I ask, what do we have to do to be worthy to be in eternal heaven? We don't do anything to be worthy to be in eternal heaven. And there are a lot of other things that we cannot do enough good works to be worthy of those things. But there are some things the Bible says we must do and we can do to be worthy of other things that we can experience while we live here in this world. Let's go back to Revelation. Go forward again back to Revelation chapter 4. And I want us to look first let's look at how the Word of God declares, you know, God is worthy, isn't He? Is God worthy of you being here tonight? You've had a busy day. Did you know some of you were here? Some of you were up working early this morning. I'm talking about working and serving God. Some of you were doing a lot of things, 7, 8, 9 o'clock this morning, out doing things to try to help other people. And then at 10 o'clock you were in Bible study. 11 o'clock you were in church. You ran home and ate food and then ate lunch and prepared lunch and ate lunch. And then you went to the Life Chain this afternoon. And then some people went directly from the Life Chain to the Annex to work on the Trumpet of Truth and went from that straight into here. And then they'll go back in there and work again. I'll tell you, it takes a lot of energy to do what God would require of us, doesn't it? But did you know that when you finished all that, you're still not worthy to go to heaven when you die? If you did that same thing all day long, every day, you'd never be worthy to go to heaven when you die. Did you know God is worthy of all that you've done today? Let me say that again. All the work you've done today, all the things you have done in service to God, God is worthy of everything you ever did. If you were to spend your whole life serving God, and if you were to spend eternity in heaven serving God and praising God, did you know that He's worthy of all of that? Nobody on this earth is worthy. I'm not worthy of all that you might do for me. And people are not worthy of all that you might do for them. But God is worthy. And that's one thing I want you to remember. Whatever you do, if you're doing it unto the Lord instead of unto men, God's worthy of that. He's worthy. Revelation chapter 4, the Word of God gives a picture of the throne of God. It describes what John saw when he saw the throne of God. He saw the angels. He saw the 24 beasts. He saw the elders around the throne, the four beasts and the 24 elders around the throne. He saw the rainbow around the throne of God. He saw a beautiful picture of the throne of God. But I want you to come down to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Here's what the 24 elders said in Revelation chapter 4, and verse 11, here's what those 24 elders said. They said in Revelation 4:11, the Word of God says that these 24 elders said, listen to the first three words. What are the first three words there? That these 24 elders said to Jesus, to God, Thou art worthy. Did you know there are people, there are angels, let me rephrase that, there are angels in heaven. There are celestial beings in heaven right now that are just giving praise to God right now. Thou art worthy. That's what these 24 elders said. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Who created all things? God created all things. Is God worthy even of the praise that animals and plants and everything gives Him? God is worthy of all that praise. And all the praise that people give Him, God is worthy of all that praise. And that's what these elders are declaring here. Thou art worthy. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, it gives another picture. It talks about God sitting on His throne, and He has in His right hand a book. You remember that? Remember chapter 5? He has a book in His right hand, and John wants to see what's in that book. You remember? Listen to Revelation 5, verse 2. Revelation 5, verse 2, John's describing what he saw. He says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? In other words, what John saw was God sitting on His throne, and in His right hand there was a book that had seven seals around it. And there was a strong angel that said, who's worthy to take that book and to open that book? I want you to listen to the next verse. Verse 3 says, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much. John says, I wept much because no man was found worthy. Listen carefully. No man was worthy to open that book. No man was worthy to take that book. Are there some things that you and I are not worthy to do? Was that one thing that no man in heaven or in earth or under the earth was able to do, was to take that book out of the right hand of God. Did you know I'm not worthy and you're not worthy to go directly to God the Father? Did you know that? We're not worthy to do that. It's only through Jesus Christ that we go to the Father. You have never been to the Father except through Jesus Christ. You know why you've never been to the Father except through Jesus Christ? Because you're not worthy to go to the Father except through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, gracious thing it is that God, the Father, does allow us to approach His throne of grace through Jesus Christ. But it's not in our righteousness that we can go to God, the Father, in prayer. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the only mediator between God and man. Who was worthy to take this book? Nobody was worthy. I just want you to remember. See, now what's the text say in Revelation 3:4? There are some people that are worthy to do what? What's the thing that is under consideration in Revelation 3:4? There are some people that are worthy to do what? To walk with Jesus in white. They're worthy. Can you do something to walk with Jesus in white raiment? Can you do something for that? Can you do something to take something right out of the hand of God the Father sitting on His throne? Can you do anything to be worthy? No, you can't ever be worthy of that. Now, after no man was found worthy, you remember what happened right after this? Then there was one that came that was worthy to take the book. Who was that one that was worthy to take the book out of God the Father? Out of the hand of God the Father. Yes, it was God the Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, after He says, there was no man found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Who is that Lion, the tribe of Judah? Who is that? Jesus Christ. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, was Jesus worthy to open the book? Yes, Jesus was worthy, but nobody else was worthy to open that book. And so it is that Jesus opened the book, and then there began to be, and come down to verse 9, the four beasts and the 24 elders, they began to sing a new song. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, they sung a new song saying, here's what they're doing now. They're praising, giving glory. Who are they giving glory to right here in Revelation 5, 9? Who are they giving glory to? Yes, Jesus. Why? Because Jesus took this, and they saw the glory of Jesus for Him to take this book and begin to open the seals thereof. So he says, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. Now what did the 24 elders say to God the Father sitting on His throne in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11? What did they say to God the Father on His throne? Thou art worthy. Now what are they saying to God the Son, Jesus Christ? What are they saying about Him? They're saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Come down to verse 12. Now in verse 11 and 12, there was the voice of many angels. And in verse 12, here's what the voice of the many angels is saying. They're saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now somebody tell me, why are we talking about that there are a few things that we can't be worthy of, like in Revelation 3:4, we can be worthy to walk with Christ in white. Why are we talking about that, but then immediately also talking about there are a lot of things we're not worthy of? What's the purpose of looking at both sides of this truth about being worthy and not being worthy? What's the purpose? The purpose is this. I want us to understand we're privileged to be worthy to be able to do some things. I think a lot of God's children, all they think of is we're not what? We're not worthy. We're not worthy. Listen, if all you know, if the only thing you know about yourself is that you are not worthy to do a lot of things, that's true about many things. But you miss many of the joys that God has for His people. If you don't know, there are some things you can walk worthy of while you live here in this world. God says you can walk worthy of some things, and it will move you and motivate you to work harder and serve the Lord more if you know you can walk worthy of some things. Now, when you start talking about walking worthy of some things, what do you then have to do and be reminded of? Some things you're not worthy of. You just need to keep going back and forth. Understand, I'm not worthy. And you understand in everything, let me mention this, in everything there's a five-letter word that's being manifested in every way in our lives. Starts with a G. What is it? Amazing what? Grace. It's the grace of God. The grace of God is being manifested. The only reason that I can walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called, the only reason that I can walk worthy of walking with Jesus, the only reason I can do anything worthy of what God says I can walk worthy of, is because of the grace of God that's in me. Did you know that? I can't do anything by myself. But by the grace of God, I can walk worthy of walking with Jesus. Go with me back to Colossians chapter 1. Back up just a moment to Colossians chapter 1. And while you're turning to Colossians chapter 1, do you remember anybody that whenever they began to see Jesus, do you remember anybody that talked about as soon as they saw Jesus, that all they could say was, I'm not worthy? Do you remember anybody that ever, when they saw Jesus, their first response was, I'm not worthy? Do you remember anybody that said words similar to that? Okay, the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. The Word of God talks about the centurion. And that centurion, you remember didn't he have a servant that was sick? I believe he had a servant. Was it a servant or a son? Son was sick, all right? And he had that son that was sick, and he came to Jesus, and he says, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Now, did he speak words of truth when he said, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house? Did he speak words of truth? Yes, he did. He was not worthy for Jesus to come to his house. He said, but just speak the words and he'll be healed. Listen, brethren, that centurion knew he was a sinner and knew Jesus was perfect in every way. And he knew he wasn't worthy for Jesus to come in his house. I'm not worthy for Jesus to come in my house. Did you know that? But you know what Jesus does by his grace? He comes to my house. We're not worthy to have Jesus in this house of worship, but Jesus comes to this house. I'm not worthy to have Jesus in my home, but Jesus comes to my home. You remember John the Baptist, when he began to preach about Jesus and saw Jesus, he says, I'm not worthy to even unlatch his shoes. I'm not worthy to even do that. Was he telling the truth when he said, I'm not worthy to even kneel down and unlatch his shoes? Was he telling the truth? Yes, he was telling the truth. He wasn't even worthy to do that. Neither are you and I worthy to do those things. There are some things we can be worthy of. Go with me to two scriptures I want you to look at in closing. First, look at Colossians chapter 1. I want you to just think again now that just as we can walk worthy, as the Word of God is talking about in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, there's some things we can walk worthy of there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Word of God says that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What do you have to do to walk worthy of the Lord? What do you have to do to walk worthy? Can you walk worthy of the Lord? What's your first, if you understand total depravity, and you understand you're a sinner, and you understand that we all fall short of honoring and glorifying God, and I ask you the question, can you walk worthy of the Lord? What's your initial response? If you don't know the Scriptures here, what's your initial response going to be? No, I can't ever walk worthy of the Lord. But what does God's Word say here? That we can walk worthy of the Lord. What does He say we have to do to walk worthy of the Lord? What does He say in that same verse? He says, in every good work, we're to do good works and be fruitful in every good work and to increase in the knowledge of God. Hope God will help us to walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the Lord. One other scripture now. Look, please, in closing at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look in 2 Thessalonians. We'll close with this one verse of Scripture. But I want you to notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, the Word of God says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Was this church at Thessalonica, were they a godly group of people that were suffering for Christ's sake? And then in verse 5 he says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the what? Worthy of the what? Verse 5. 2 Thessalonians 1:5, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Can you walk worthy of the kingdom of God? Is there a heaven you can walk worthy of? It's the kingdom of heaven. Is there a heaven you cannot walk worthy of? That's the eternal heaven. May God help us. Listen, brethren, we ought to be rejoicing. There's some things we can walk worthy of. We ought to be rejoicing that God has set up some standards. You just reach this standard, you can be in the kingdom of God. And also at the same time understand, you can never reach this standard to be in eternal heaven. May God help us to walk worthy of the Lord is my prayer for Christ's sake.